Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
Interesting. In the spirit-to-spirit service, it's going to be hotter. But I pray that this one will bless you also. Amen. Close your eyes and lift your right hand and talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Diva Bakatakash. Talk to God that you will hear His voice. Ask God to give you an obedient and a submissive heart to His word. Speak to me. Let me hear you, Lord. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Let your word cut through my heart and edify me in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm doing the Fearless Christian Part what? Four. Part four. The Fearless Christian Part four. Hallelujah. What are you supposed to do? Amen. The Fearless Christian Part four. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Before I read it, I've realized that many of us don't read our Bibles. And I discovered it myself that I realized that when I'm reading a book and the author quotes a scripture, I try to skip the scripture and still want to read what the author is writing. It's a sign that we are not paying attention to the scriptures, but we are paying attention to the words of men that are nice to us. So even when you come to church and they quote, they say, we are going to read this, you will not write, you will not type, you will not even open the Bible because you have a screen. Yesterday, I was in a funeral seated by my professor who taught me prophetic literature. He has been a professor for 40 years, and she was seated by me. And during the funeral, when another pastor was preaching, this woman took a book and was writing what was being preached. Thank God I was typing on my phone. So, when we are reading scriptures in church, pay attention to the scripture, because it is in the scripture, the word of God, that God speaks to us. God doesn't speak to us from a stone. No. God doesn't speak to us from a tree. No. God doesn't speak to us from a river. No. His word is where He expresses Himself to us. So please be paying attention to scripture even more than the preaching of the pastor. Are you here with me? So look at the scripture. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had power over death, that is the devil. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Give me a softer version and still look at the scripture. He said, because God's people are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could He die, and only by dying could He break the power of the devil. So in these two verses, you can see that the power of the devil is actually the power of fear. Please, are you here? Who had the power of death? So the power of the devil, the power of death, only in this way could He set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So fear turns you into a slave. Fear turns you into a slave of the power of the devil. Fear, that is, a lot of people are in bondage that they conform to all kinds of traditions and all kinds of beliefs because they are afraid that if they don't do it, they say something will happen to them. But that is not the life of the Christian. The life of the Christian must be lived in a life of freedom. He that the Son set is free shall be free indeed. But some of us are free, but we are not free. I saw a video or a picture or a video of what? There was a horse. They usually tie the horse on a tree. For a long time, he's always tied by the tree. And one day the owner removed the rope from the tree. And ties the rope on a plastic chair. And they made an attempt to chase the horse. The horse did not run because he thinks that the rope is tied to the tree. That is the power of fear. Fear will let you believe something that does not really exist. And I pray that this teaching becomes a blessing to you. Christ came to break the power of the devil. He came to break the power of the devil, the power of death, and the power of fear from our lives. So if Christ really dwells in us, we must have dominion over fear. And today receive that revelation in the name of Jesus. Fear is one of the power of the devil, the master key, the master force of the enemy. Death cannot work until fear goes ahead. Poverty cannot work until fear goes ahead. For lack of knowledge, my people perish. So when fear is in charge, any other demon can operate. This is why your victory over fear is a master victory. It affects every aspect of your life. Now, five types of fear you must know and be aware of, that all of us go through five types of fear. Number one, the fear of death. The fear of death. Abraham, the man of faith, was afraid to die. In Genesis chapter 20, so you see, fear is not the absence of faith. You can be a man of faith and still come under the impression and the deception of fear. And faith is not the absence of fear. There can be faith and there can be fear. Fear can be present when you activate faith. So Abraham, a man of faith, the man who through whom we receive the covenant of faith through God. The Bible said that he went to a place called Gerar in Genesis chapter 20. And the king, because of when the king asked him who Sarah was, he said Sarah was the sister. I'm sure he was filling the forms of immigration or whatever. And he said, Sarah is my sister. So the king saw the beauty of Sarah and took her as a wife. But I don't know how many days I am yet to get to know. Anytime he tries to touch her, something stops him. Until one day he had a dream. And then God told him, you are a dead man. Do you know that woman is the wife of a prophet? Then he told God that he did it in his innocency. He didn't know. It was a genuine sin. He didn't know. And God spared him. And he went to Abraham. Abraham, you deceived me. You should have told me Sarah was your wife. He said no. So go to the verse 11. I thought that the fear of God is not here. That if I say it's my wife, you will kill me. Abraham was afraid of death. Do I have a witness here? Yeah. He was afraid of death. He said, Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not here. So Abraham didn't believe that he was in a zone where people fear God. And when you look at the interaction between Abimelech and God, you see that Abimelech was a man who feared God. Sometimes the lie you are going to say you cannot blame it on anybody, because you are predicting the outcome, but the outcome will not go the way you think. Abraham thought that if he said the woman was his wife, the king will heal him and take his wife, because that is what is usually the culture, where when a king, even in our time, in our country or in Africa, those days, I don't know whether it is now, when the chief or the king in the town sets his eyes on the lady and says that he wants this lady as his wife, nothing comes between the vision. So whoever comes up, you have to agree that the woman must go. You cannot be the father and say, no, I will not allow. No, then it is demanded that the woman is given to the king. So Abraham was afraid. And most of us, this is our story. We are afraid of death. And Abraham also was afraid of death. Number two, the reason I'm giving you this example so that you don't think that you are out of the equation. Number two, the fear of lack. So this goes to Genesis chapter 21, verse 14 to 17. It's about Hagar, when Abraham drove her and the child out of his house because Sarah said she didn't want to see Hagar and Ishmael in the house. So whilst they were going in the desert, the water Abraham set them forth got finished, lack. And out of fear of lack, she left the child somewhere and also went to sit somewhere far, looking somewhere, because she didn't want to see the child die out of lack of water. But while she was sitting there looking somewhere, an angel of the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, God himself, spoke to Hagar. Hagar, turn back and see. There are springs for the child, because the voice of the child was heard, not the voice of Hagar, the voice of the child, because the child is a covenant child from Abraham. So the fear of death, the fear of lack. When God asks you to do something, you will think that you lack the ability. When God was sending Moses, Moses thought he didn't have the ability. But you don't know. Anytime your lack is an opportunity for God to supply. Any area of your life that lacks something in order to achieve something, God, our sufficiency, supplies it. So you can have a Christian who is a good man, but he's not wise. There are good Christians who are not wise. There are good Christians who cannot be a friend to you, because they've not learned the art of being faithful as a friend. There are good Christians you cannot form a clique with. Are you following me? They are Christians. They are church members. You cannot form a clique of three or four with them, because they can be that dangerous. They can talk amongst themselves. So let's say A, B, C, D are Christian brothers. You see, the fact that somebody is a Christian brother doesn't mean that he has it all. Or somebody is a Christian sister doesn't mean that she has it all. That is why you must be careful how you criticize people. And you must be careful how you trust people. Because you trust by your own responsibility. Are you here? You trust by your own responsibility. Why you trusted the guy is your own responsibility, because you have to be sure that what you are looking for, you have seen it. If somebody is in the church and he's a carpenter, and because he's in the church, you give him a contract to do something, and you think that because he's a church member, he should do it well. Please, when there's a mess, don't come to the pastor. Deal with yourself, because you trusted the person and gave him the contract. And if you're a Christian and a brother in the church gives you a contract, you must fear God. You must fear the church. You must fear the name of the Lord to execute the work, to the point that nobody will open his mouth and say like, my church members, I will never give them any contract. You must fear God to do the work well. I know I'm talking to somebody. Yeah. For some of you, you've caused pain to your own colleagues. They give you a contract. They recommended you to someone. They pay, you are not doing it well. They want receipt, you are not bringing it. Who should recommend you again for what? So the name of Christ on us puts pressure on us to behave ourselves to reflect the image of the Lord. Now, the next fear is the fear of failure. The fear of failure. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 to 9, we see the sojourning of the Israelites, or the movement of the Israelites from Egypt to the promised land. And when they got to the Red Sea, they were afraid that they would fail. They started blasting Moses. Are there no graves in Egypt that you have brought us here? Let's raise another master to take us back. So verse 9, because of time. So look at what he said. He said, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread. So what they were afraid of, God had given them a word for them to know that the land they are going for is good and they can take it. Yet, when they met the Red Sea, they were afraid of failure. Failure will always show up to make a statement that you cannot make progress. You cannot be calm. You cannot go forward. You cannot see the word of God come to pass. But that is why I'm preaching that though failure will show up first, don't bow down to failure. Don't bow down to fear. The next fear is the fear of demons. The fear of demons. Matthew 14, 25 to 26. They saw Jesus walking on water. And then they say he's a ghost. Oh, a lot of Africans are afraid of ghosts. And they say ghost, Samai. You're afraid of Samai. Do you know you're afraid of snakes? And do you know the snakes are afraid of you? Have you ever met a snake when the snake saw a human being? When any time a snake sees that a human being has detected it, they move very fast. They are not moving towards you, but you think they are moving towards you. They are running away from your sight. But you would think that they are coming. It's like if you see a lizard or a war gecko, whether gecko, any of them is a war. Immediately they sight that the human being has sighted them. Look at how they move fast. They look for a safety. You are afraid of ghosts. The ghost too is afraid of you. But we have that fear of ghosts, demons. That, hey, this position that they are going to give to me, if I sit on the seat, something will happen to me. Hey, what is in you? You have cultivated the spirit of fear so much that when God wants to promote you, even the angels will tell God, this guy is afraid. Wait small. Maybe that is why your blessing is delaying. Today, have authority over fear. In the name of Jesus. Number 5, the fear of imagined fear. Listen to me. If you see somebody's marriage working, or somebody's marriage is working, it is not just working because he or she don't have fear or doesn't have fear. There's always some amount of doubt that this guy I'm committing my life to, will he change? Will she change? If you see somebody running a business and is doing well, what if I wake up one day? Like you see, oh, Pastor Prince is doing well. I said, Pastor, he's doing well. He's doing well. They don't know. They don't know that my first service is half filled. But you see, it's half filled because a lot are students and a lot are nursing mothers. You don't let people dictate to you when you are in the path that God has ordained to you. When the Spirit of the Lord is leading you, the opinions of men may be contrary to what the Spirit is saying. So the fear of the imagined fear. Peter was walking on the water. Jesus bade him to come in the same story. He said, come. Then he began to walk on the water. Instead of him staying in that realm that gave him the impetus to step the first time on water, he came to himself. Say, hey, hey, I'm walking on water. Hey, what if I start sinking? Ah, then he started sinking and he shouted. These 5 fears is amongst all of us. Put them on the screen again. The 5 fears. Oh, you people. The fear of death, the fear of lack, the fear of failure, the fear of demons, and the fear of imagination, or the imagined fear. Put it that way. Imagined fear. Now, how many of you have written exams before? Oh, some people have not written exams. So who has written exams before? I want to see. I am teaching with you. Okay. Every exams you go and write, don't you have a bit of fear? There is that anxiety that what is coming? What is coming? Oh, I remember one paper I went to write. I think one of the third year, so many years ago. Let's say 2006, 2005, thereabout. I sat there. What the exams I hate are choose 3 out of 5. I don't like that. I want you to say answer all. So when they say answer all, the marks are distributed. Into minimum wake a crack, no matter minimum wake a crack, no matter at the end of the day, pass the obinya. But when you're lucky, when you're lucky, and they say choose 3, and you see that the one you know, bam, you sit in the exams and it has disappeared in your head. So now it's level 2. Where are you going to pass? The 2, the other 2 there, you don't know at all. I sat there when I finished the exams. I went straight to Paju. Shadalabalabala, shadalababa, lebrako, shatakaya, God, I can't fail. I don't know how he did it, but I didn't fail. But I knew what I wrote, I must fail. That fear is with everybody. Are you here with me? Even during engagement, you, the man, even when they are going to introduce you and you are walking in front of your in-laws, the man, are you here? It's like your heart has entered your mouth. You, pa, a man, you are walking so gentle. The gentility is not out of boldness. No. It's out of some tension. What are these relatives saying about me? Say, this guy, his eyes are too small. This guy is too slim. The way he's walking, he doesn't have a problem. He's not smiling well. So you look at an aunt, and most of the aunties from outside will be sitting there quietly looking at you. That fear. I'm showing you that fear is all around us. And there's somebody watching me. You are so gripped in fear that you cannot even make the next move of your life. Today, I declare the Lord deliver you in Jesus' name. I declare the Lord deliver you in Jesus' name. I declare the Lord deliver you in Jesus' name. After your salvation, the next realm or all your life as a Christian, you are supposed to walk in the faith zone of life. After salvation, or if you will benefit from God, you have to walk in faith. That's the whole story. That's why you come to church. That's why you read the Bible. That's why you pray. Prayer is not to change God. Prayer is to change you. Prayer is to build your faith. Prayer is to let you be consistent in your progress of growth. So if you will benefit from God as a Christian, you must learn that your faith becomes a big issue. I'm not growing. I want to grow spiritually. Please stop praying those prayers. Stop praying, I want to grow spiritually. It's not a prayer topic. I've not seen it in the Bible. Give me a scripture. It is something you are saying that you are not committed to. So stop saying it. Anybody that prays that prayer, is not committed to growing spiritually. I want this year, 2024, God help me to grow spiritually. What have you done? What do you know you should be doing that you have not been doing, but you are praying that you want to grow spiritually? So growth, you don't pray to growth. You do what you must do to grow. You know, you don't pray to grow. You do what you must do to grow. How does a child grow? The child must eat the right things. The child must take the right vitamins. The child must go for the vaccinations. The child must have peace of mind. The mother must give good breast milk, healthy breast milk. So growth is not prayed for. You do things in order to grow. If a child must learn how to walk, you cannot keep the baby in the baby's cot. You must encourage the baby to walk. Sometimes you go and buy that thing they hold. What's the name? Trolley or is it trolley? Walker. So whilst they are holding and they are going to fall, the tie is, so they learn how to walk. You don't pray to walk. You learn how to walk. And when you discover how to walk, you keep taking that step. And your faith grows. Your faith. Somebody sent me a message and said, Pastor, how do I grow spiritually? Say, do what you must do to grow spiritually. Spiritual growth is gradual. It's gradual. And faith will demand you to grow gradually. You cannot fake growth. You cannot fake it. If you are not grown, you are not grown. Are you here with me? You cannot fake growth in life. If you are not there yet and you are looking like you are there yet, soon we will know. Bishop Oyedepo said that if you jump up, you will come down. But if you grow up, you will stay there. You can never be 18 years and say you want to be 6 years again. As long as you grow, you will stay there. Don't let doors open for you. You enter and then you realize that you don't have the capacity. I pray that this message is changing somebody. In the name of Jesus. God had prepared an abundant life for the children of God. But they were entertaining fear. Fear will always come. You will see things that you say, why did I take this step? Why am I doing this? Who asked me to trouble myself? But in the promised land was so much a blessing loaded. Now, what happened to the children of Israel actually happens to every Christian. So let me give you some nice definitions. The Egypt life, the wilderness life, and the promised land life. It's a teaching service. If you cannot endure teaching, you can never grow. The reason a lot of Christians are not growing is that we like the emotional sermons. And those ones don't really grow you. Are you here? What grows you is teaching. When you get to know what to do, and that grows you. So we have the Egypt life, the wilderness life, and the promised land life. The Egypt life is a land of not enough. That's how I call it. They were laboring, using all their strength and their expertise, but they were not getting all that they must get. It was not enough. The wilderness life is a life of enough. In the wilderness, they had manna, they had chicken, they had, God was all with them, they never fell sick. When the snake started biting them and they were dying, God was their doctor, God was their solution. They were enough, they had enough. But they didn't have enough to store. That's why God said, when they go and eat the manna, they should eat what they need now. Enough. But not enough to store. Not enough to save. But in the promised land, you will have more than enough. And that is the faith zone. You will have more than enough. And it will take a fearless Christian to enter there. That is why many Christians don't have enough. They don't even have the enough, let alone more than enough. It will not be your story. I said it will not be your story. It takes a fearless life to access the land of abundance. Israel Israel. You have to move from Egypt. You have to move. God will not move. He has asked you to move. So move. So move from Egypt. Go through the wilderness. It's 40 years. In your mind, you wanted 1 year. And God makes it 40 years. For a reason. Because maybe when you arrive in your promised land too early, the enemies you will meet there, they will be stronger than you. But by the 40 years in the wilderness, you would have met dangerous animals. You would have met experienced God. So by the time you enter the promised land, you know God too well that no challenge. They met the Jebusites, they met the Amalekites, they met the Hittites, all of them. The Bible said God made them bread. Go to the Numbers 49 and look at it. God turned them into bread. God turned their enemies into bread. I don't know what you are facing. He said, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. I declare in the name of Jesus, anything that represents fear, anything that is speaking failure into your life, the Lord turn it into bread for you. The Lord turn it into bread for you. Now, God told Moses, tell the people to move forward. Exodus 14, 15. What should I do when I face fear? Move forward. Are you here? Move forward. He said, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of God that they go forward. Don't stop. Go. Keep going. If the spirit is involved, keep going. If the profession will work, don't be afraid. Go forward. Don't stop. Give me the amplified version of that quickly. I have some few minutes to wrap. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Don't turn it into another prayer topic. The answer is go forward. Just keep going. I said go, so go. So far as I've said go, I've sorted out every resistance ahead of you. Just go. Don't turn back. Don't turn left. Don't turn right. Don't change your mind. Just go forward. Tell the sons of Israel to move forward towards the sea. Are you seeing something? Move forward towards what? Oh, speak to me. Move forward towards what? The sea. They've seen the Red Sea and they are afraid. God said, keep going. He's your light in darkness. So keep going. When you get into darkness, you become your light. Are you here with me? He is your sufficiency. When you enter into insufficiency, you will see him as your sufficiency. He said, keep going. Move into the sea. Keep moving. By the time you get there, he will show you that he has provided a way out. Yes. And did he make a way? Did he make a way for them? Did he make a way for them? I'm here to tell you something. Whatever seems to be the last stop to bring disgrace on your life, God has made a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. I thought you would say a bigger amen. Amen. Shada-la-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It takes a fearless life to see abundance in life. The life of God in us is an abundant life. It's not a small life. John 10:10. It's an abundant life. How will you see an abundant life as a Christian? John 10:10. He gave us what the devil came to do, and he gave us what life we have. He said, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it what? In abundance to the full till it overflows. How will you see this? Only in the faith zone. Only in the faith zone. After prayer, go forward. After fasting, go forward. If God has given you the blessing, enjoy it. You will not die. Am I talking to people? A fearless Christian is that Christian that qualifies for the full delivery of this abundant life. And you are the one I'm talking about. I said you are the one I'm talking about. You will see the abundance of God's grace on your life. You will see the abundance of God's blessing on your life. I declare the abundance of God's blessing on your academics. I declare the abundance of God's blessing on your marriage. I declare the abundance of God's blessing on your health. I declare the abundance of God's blessing on your children. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord a mighty clap offering. Peter and his friends had to break the hold of fear in order to enter into that abundance. They had labored all night, they caught nothing. They labored all night, they caught nothing. And Jesus shows up and started talking. Hey, give me over. After preaching, he said, now launch out into the deep. You have to break a certain fear. That failure, the fear of failure. You have failed already and you are going again. Ah. Peter had to break that failure sense. Yes, you failed, number one. But now, a revelation has come. Go back and do the same thing as you have been spoken to. So Peter said, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. I know life has been difficult. That's a definition. That is simple put. Master, life has been difficult. Life has been confusing. We have tried all we can, but it's not working. But at your word, this is where we must kill failure. In the second service, I'm going to take you through the life of Abraham Lincoln. How repeated failures did not stop him to still vow for the presidency of America. It's okay for you to fail. Tell somebody it's okay for you to fail. It's okay. It's not out of order. It's okay. You're a human being. You are not God. You are full of mistakes. You are full of carelessness. You are full of whatever, deficiencies, weakness. You are not God. So it's okay for you to fail. But it's not okay for you to end in failure. Failure is like steps that shows up. We don't stop there. But it's okay for you to fail. I'll show you how Abraham Lincoln, we always mention him. If you're a good reader, you have read enough about Abraham Lincoln. Did he fail? Yes. But in the midst of the failure, he didn't allow failure to stop him. Today I declare that anything called a limitation born out of fear, that thing that holds you, that you cannot take that decision, you cannot make that progress, I declare it broken in the name of Jesus. I declare it broken in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself was caught up in fear. He's the last example I'm using to end. He was caught up in fear. Pastor, how can Jesus God fear? He was caught up in fear. When he saw the way he was going to die, he was a human being for that matter. If it was, wouldn't you be afraid? Oh, talk to me. Jude, wouldn't you be afraid? The imagination, imagine fear. Thinking through. They are going to betray me. I'm going to be beaten and I'm going to be crucified. He felt it. He was afraid. How do I know that Jesus was afraid? Matthew chapter 26. So you are going to read three scriptures in Matthew chapter 26 in order. He was so much afraid that he turned it into a prayer topic. Whatever you are going through, Jesus went through. The fears that confronted you and you turned to a prayer topic, it's okay. Jesus turned his fears into prayer. It's better. It's better than to allow it to crush you. I know I'm talking to somebody. I know deeply. I'm talking to somebody. Something is eating you up. Something called fear. One day a man called me and said, Pastor Prince, I'm 42. I don't know what I've done in life. If I die, it's better. The fear of failure is what is all over the atmosphere now. You hardly talk to somebody and see positive words. Everybody is singing a melody of fear, of failure, of anxiety, of the unknown, uncertainties. Ah, but I declare, may the word of the Lord lift your spirit this morning. So Matthew 26, 36 to 38. Let's do this fast in 5 minutes. I should be done. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly, give me a short version. Is Jesus speaking? No. He said, he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Give me the BB. Give me the 37 quickly. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and became very sad and very troubled. Verse, he said, then says he to them, my soul is very sad. I want to ask you a question. Is sadness a fruit of the Spirit? Hello? Talk to me, first service. But is the Bible talking about Jesus? Oh, talk to me. First service. You are letting me miss the spirit-to-spirit service. I know the first service, you are executive people, but sometimes you have to talk. Jesus was sad and troubled. We overjudge ourselves sometimes. Jesus went through this. But the end of the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, was it sadness or trouble or glory? Glory. Your sadness today does not, your failure today, your trouble today does not mean that you are going to end a failure. If you know that you have authority over fear. Now look at verse 39. And he went forward a little. Jesus was very sad, very troubled, afraid. And falling down on his face. Assignment can put fear in you. Falling down. Being too old. Like, maybe I'm going to give a speech to some board members. Like, I'm going to do a proposal. Something. Or your child is in labor. Hey, your child, your wife is in labor with your child. You don't know. You're going. We'll be a child of Christ. Me, when my wife is in labor, I go straight to the church. I go to the Osu church. I don't even stay in the hospital. I just go to the Osu church. Whatever you do to my wife, do to her, for her to deliver. I am on the altar praying. There is always that sense. So Jesus had it. And he went falling down on his feet. You cry, you are able to sit down or stand. He couldn't stand. The fear was, the trouble was too much. He just laid. Some of you, sometimes you come to church and during worship, you come and lie down. It's not like you're falling in love with God. Some heaviness is on you that you just want to lie down. Just lie down. That's what Jesus said. Just lie down. On his feet in prayer, he said, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup go from me, but let not my pleasure, but yours be done. The next verse. Give me the KJV, please, until I ask you to change. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto them, Peter, what could you not watch with me for 1 hour? He was, you see, people can be around you, but they may not be with you. Be careful. I will go into that in the second service. The verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, let it be." It's like, in his heart, he wished the thing could pass because it was trouble. But if that is the only way that will bring glory to the Father, let it be. Let me let you know, what you are going through, God has a stake in it. He wants to use it to make a statement for his namesake. He will not leave you in this journey, and he's going to go through with you, and you are going to come out successfully in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus faced the fear of death. He faced a moment when he could not feel the Father. No help at that moment. My Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" But it was part of the story. Tell somebody it's part of the story. I said, tell somebody it's part of the story. And tell yourself, what I'm going through is part of the story. In the name of Jesus. Growth is only seen in the faith zone. I want you to rise up on your feet and begin to pray to God. Just rise up on your feet and begin to pray to God. Now, Lord, every fear I have entertained, I ask you, Lord, I ask for grace. I receive grace. I tap into grace. Lift your voice and pray that, "Lord, I receive grace to overcome this fear. I receive grace to overcome this fear. I rebuke grace. I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus." Lift your voice and pray. When you are in the will of God, there is no fear. When you are in the love of God, there is no fear. I am a child of faith. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of faith. I'm a child of God. I'm not a child of fear. I'm not a slave to fear. Lift your voice and pray. Labada baba 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 baba. Emanda na na ma shanda la ba ya. Rabada baba baba shanda la ba. Emanda la ba shanda la ba ba. Anda la ba ba ya anda la bo shanda la be. Anta la 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 ma shanda ya ba ba ya. Lebaka shata la 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 ba da. Rabaka ta la ba ba. You will take that mountain. You will take that blessing. You will cross that line. You will see the victory. You will hold the trophy. You will pass. You will succeed. You will survive. You will scale the walls. You shall be an overcomer. Nikaba la da ba ba ba. Rebuke the fear. Rebuke the fear. Rebuke the spirit of fear. For God has not given you the spirit of fear. Lift your voice and pray. La mo shada la ba ba. Eman da 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 ba. Shada da ba haya. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the authority over fear. We thank you for victory. We thank you for forward movement. We thank you for the overcoming spirit. We thank you that the spirit of fear has no power over us. I thank you that these people are moving from glory to glory. Whatever they are going through, let their light afflictions work for them. Work for them a heavy weight of glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap of praise.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Caris Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Caris Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Caris. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you, and God richly bless you.